Welcome back to Nachyomi. Today we're going to be focusing on Yechezkel Perek Yud, the 10th chapter of Sefer Yechezkel. Just wanted to really empathize with anybody who's been learning Yechezkel up to now that Perek Test, the 9th chapter, was extremely depressing. It was where Yechezkel sees the ultimate vision of destruction of everybody in Yerushalayim, and it's extremely hard to read that perek. So this perek comes in on the heels of this. Yechezkel again is hovering over Yerushalayim in some sort of vision where he's seeing what's happening to Yerushalayim. He just saw these six figures and the seventh figure who are walking through Yerushalayim to kill everybody. Nobody seems to be coming out. The Midas Adin seems to be succeeding over here. And now we get into the 10th perek. The 10th perek is really divided up into two parts. The first part is an episode that occurs, a scene that he witnesses, and then it goes back to sort of the scene of the Merkava where he sees the celestial throne moving. Let's focus on each one by itself. Let's just do a quick summary of the perek together, and then a few questions to get a bigger picture. So let's start at the very beginning. Well, he's looking above this this area above the Beis Hamikdash, and he sees above the Kruvim this sapphire appearance, which is the Dmus HaKiseh, which is the vision of the throne. And the throne calls out. Hashem calls out to Ish Levush Abadim, the person who's wearing these linen garments, and tells him to go to the Galgal, which is under the Kruv, and to fill his hand with coals and throw them over the city. He describes how he hears the Kruvim coming, and there's this noise, the noise of this voice of Hashem as it fills the temple, and the presence of Hashem is like a cloud which fills the entire temple, and that's what happens. This specter comes into the Levush HaAdim, and he takes out the coals from Eitzel HaOfan, next to the Ofan, which is one level of angel, and he gives it to him, and at this point in time something strange happens, and that is that Vayira LaKruvim Tavnis Yad Adam Tachas Kanfehem, and the angels notice the figure of a hand, a human hand, under their wings. So very strange episode. This ends the first section of this perek. Very strange. The second part of this perek runs from Pasuk Tes to the end, and this is where he describes in terms which seem very similar to Perek Aleph, the first chapter of Yechezkel, a description of the Merkava, of the celestial chariot, or the celestial vision of heaven, and he describes the different levels of angels that he notices and their movement. There are a few things that are unique to this perek, which are different. Number one is when he describes this these angels that, again, like four faces, and wherever they move, they don't turn because they're always facing the direction they're moving in, that kind of description. When describing it, he describes that everywhere covering them are Meleim Einayim Saviv. They're filled with eyes everywhere, on their wings, on their arms. Everywhere is filled with eyes. Fascinating. That's something we didn't get to hear in the first perek. And then we also hear about how the four faces are the face of a kruv, an angel, a face of a human, a face of a lion, and a face of an eagle, which seems to be a change. Beforehand, though, instead of there being a kruv as one of the faces, it was a shor, it was an ox. Something's changed in this. And slowly he witnesses the chariot moving, and vayetze kavod Hashem al hamiftan habayis, vayemod al kruvim, and Hashem's glory moves out from the miftan habayis, which is the platform of the house, and stands by the kruvim, which is by the entrance. And there's this movement outwards. And Yechezkel notices that the angels that he is seeing over here are the ones he saw in the Nar Kfar, the ones he saw in Babylon as well. So it's the same movement, the same support of the Kisei Hashem. So this is actually a summary of the actual perek. Now let's take a look at this and analyze it in its two parts. In the first part of this perek, the questions that one would be thinking about over here is at least things that strike me, is that, you know, the Levush HaBadim, this angel, which is the white-garbed angel, which we saw beforehand, which is associated in the Midrash as being Yechezkel, is usually associated as being the defendant. So it's interesting over here, why is he taking the coals? That sounds like a prosecution, not defendant. Also, what's this whole business of the coals? We've heard about the destruction. We've heard about them slaughtering, you know, the six level descriptions of destruction going through the city of Jerusalem. Why do we hear about the coals now? And also, This is all done. This is already a done deal about destruction. What's happening in this parak? So a few two clues which help us understand that this parak is absolutely completely different to what we've been learning up till now. Clue number one is the image of the cloud filling the mikdash is an image actually of goodness. It's an image at the end of Sefer Shmos. It's an image in Melachim Aleph Perek Ches where Hashem fills the base of mikdash. It's Hashem being there. So this is an example of Hashem's cloud of glory filling the Mikdash and the Mishkan is a good sign. So there's something about this Perek is something happier, is more perhaps optimistic than the previous Perek. How so? Another clue to notice is that the Gemara in Yuma on Ayin Zayin Amud Aleph tells us that HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Michael, Sircha Amus Umoscha, your nation has sinned. So he says, Amal Afonav Ribbono Shel Olam, isn't it good for the good? Aren't there enough good ones? And Hashem says, no, I'm killing them all. And at this point in time, that's when Hashem summons the Isha Elavush Abadim to go and take the ash, which is interesting. That means to say that as a response to trying to find mercy, he's calling the Elavush Abadim. Something about this whole episode at the beginning of the Perek is something, there's a turnaround going on over here. What is happening? So what I like to do is track through the Malbim's idea of reading this parak, and it is such a profound insight. The Malbim points out that yes, the Gzar Din, the decree on Israel in the previous parak, was within the context of Din. Logic. Israel sinned, they didn't listen, they disputed the Nevi'im, they didn't listen to the multiple warnings, they are doomed. In logical Din, they have no leg to stand on. However, what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is doing is he's reaching above Din, above logic, into a realm which is above the Ofanim. The Ofanim is one level of angel, of powers of energy in this world. He's reaching above them to the Rachamim, which goes beyond the natural logic of things. From the world, what the Malbim calls the realm of Kisei, which is another level higher. So how does it working? That means that the angel Isha Badim is actually the defendant angel. He is reaching above the Ofanim. Where is he getting the ash from and the coals? He's getting it from above the Ofanim, from the realm of logic, beyond the world of Hashkacha, of quid pro quo, of what we do is that it has effects. And therefore, what's actually happening, says the Malbim based on Chazal, he's taking the coals to destroy the Mikdash, to destroy the city of Yerushalayim, but not Israel. In the previous parak, it was talking about the people being killed. In this parak, it's talking about the building being destroyed. That means to say that it's an act of mercy to allow the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash in the place of the destruction of Israel. That's what the Levush Abadim, this white-garbed angel, is doing. He's reaching for the coals to allow that to happen to save Israel. Because Rachamim now is working, and Rachamim comes from the higher level of energy of the Olam HaKiseh. That's how the Malbim understands it. Brilliant. Which means there's actually an extra little twist over here. The Malbim quoting Chazal says that when Hashem commands the Levush Abadim, he says to the Gabriel himself, take the coals, but actually another angel hands him the coals, which, as the Malbim and the Arba Banel point out, which means to say that the coals are being cooled down. So even the destruction of Yerushalayim has time on it. It's going to be another 6 years before that destruction, which gives time for perhaps potentially more teshuvah. Now coming to the last element of this vision, where Gabriel notices, the angels notice that under their wings is a human hand. What does that really mean? So the Ramak, Rav Moshe Cordovero, in his Sefer, his really watershed Sefer, Tomer Devorah, describes in the seventh paragraph of the first parak that in the middah of Hashem, of Kichofetz Chesedhu, of Hashem doing kindness, he says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu may say that a human being is slated for destruction, but a human being can mitigate that because of the kindness they did for others in their life. Meaning to say, what is the hand that the angels are seeing over here? It's the hand of the human that stretches out to give to others. Meaning all the bad things they did, all the evil, all the negativity that they caused in their life, well, they actually were still givers. And that giving is what actually is their defense over here. So what is it that they see in the furnace which prevents their actual destruction is the human hands of giving. What a powerful way of looking at this. This is the Ramak, and the Ramak of course says, and that's what we have to do, is that when we are hurt by others, when we see other people, we need to be able to translate that and say, wait a second, remember the goodness that other people do for us. Envision what they do for us to forgive them and act like Hashem. That's how we impersonate that exact Midah in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Just to close this parak over here, What does it mean in the last vision as he sees the chariot, that there are these angels that are full of eyes? So again, the Mabavis says that this calls back to the idea that the chayos, which are the higher level angels, have hashkacha, are in fact the supervision of the lower level hashkacha of the ofanim, which are dependent on logic and din. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu is saying that the upper angels are more in charge now. They're going to supersede the din that was actually meted out in the previous parak. And that's exactly what's happening. Why it is that when you hear the four faces of the chariot, there's no longer a shor here, there's no longer an ox, there is a kruv, because as the Gemara tells us in Chagiga Yud Gimel and Beis, when Yechezkel asks for rachamim, he no longer can have the prosecuting agent of the shor, which has represented a previous fallacy of what Israel did, which was creating the eagle, which wasn't just a once-off episode, but it was looking at one element, one of the four energies of the Kisei HaKavod, and manipulating that. So Yechezkel, in his prayers, translates that into the face of a kruv to symbolize the salvation which has been happening. And in fact, if you notice over here, the movement of the Shekhinah is outwards, and the reason why the Shekhinah is moving outwards is in order to empty the house of spirituality, so the Beis HaMikdash can be destroyed, allowing for the wrath, allowing for the anger, allowing for the justice to be meted out on a structure rather than on Israel, and that's why we continue to live on. So Perek Yud, in a certain sense, is the ultimate conclusion of Perek Tes. Yes, Israel should be destroyed, but that's only in the realm of Ofanim. In the realm of Kisei, we are being saved, and we're being saved for numerous reasons. One of them is giving us Chasadim. In the meantime, have a wonderful and meaningful day.